My name is Mark Mullery. I serve as, the website says I'm the teaching pastor. So I serve as the teaching pastor here. And I'm going to have a chance to teach in just a moment from Psalm 122. We've been in a series in the book of Psalms this summer. Before I do that, I want to welcome some folks and say goodbye to some folks. I saw, there he is, Bruce Micah back from 5 weeks in the hospital. And killing it with the mohawk. How about that? That's great. So great to have you here. Stephen, Gail, Arbogast, and Aaron and Gabe back. It's great to have you here. Longtime members of the church. And I've interacted with a number of college students who will be heading back this coming week to go back to school. And so I just wanted to take a moment. If you're getting ready, I know there are college students coming in for the year, but there are also some leaving. And so if you're about to leave to go away to college, maybe this is your last Sunday or maybe you got a little more time after that, but I want to just take a quick moment and acknowledge we love you and we're going to miss you and pray for you. So if you're leaving this week or real soon to go to college, could you just stand up for just a second? I just want to pray for you, okay? I know who you are, so I'm going to start pointing you out if you don't. Okay, great. Thank you very much. All right. Good. So just stay standing. I just want to pray for you, and I just want to tell you we love you, and we're so glad that this is your church home during the summer, and we will miss you. So I just want to pray. Let's pray. Father, we pray for these wonderful students that as they leave this place and return to their universities in the coming year, we pray that you would bless them as they go, fill them with your Spirit, and we pray that you would make them a blessing as they go in their studies and on mission, bringing good news into their schools. We pray your blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. Great, thanks. Okay, so we're in Psalm 122. We have Psalm 122 this week, Psalm 97 next Sunday, and then Psalm 23 after that in our Psalm series. And then we are going to be doing a short series in acknowledgement of the 500th birthday of the Reformation. We're going to do a short series on justification, and then we'll be looking at the book of Judges in the fall. But this morning, Psalm 122, and I'm going to be reading that. So here we go, Psalm 122, a song of ascents of David. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that's bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you that as we have gathered here this morning, we have sung your praises, we have heard the testimony of your saving grace and power, and we thank you that we gather in this spiritual house where the Spirit dwells. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would activate these living words from Psalm 122 so that we might be both hearers and doers of the word. And I pray that you would thrill us with the joy of going to the house of the Lord and being a part of the church of Jesus Christ. I pray in his name and for his glory. Amen. So the title of this message is The Joy of Corporate Worship, because I have to write these titles in advance and I can't change them right before the service because there's different things in print and circulated and so on. But if I could, I would change it, because as I work on these messages, and all the guys that preach will tell you the same thing, as you soak in the word during the week, it works on you, and it takes shape in ways you hadn't seen before. So this morning, I would retitle this message, Going to the House of the Lord, because I want to talk about the spiritual house of the Lord. I want to talk about church this morning. Psalm 122 is going to take us to the topic of church, and I want to say this morning, I love church. You've heard me say this before. I'm going to say it again. I love church. I love the church. I didn't always love the church. I wasn't born loving the church. Growing up, we were a church-going family, but church was, to me, boring, meaningless, and so I stopped going as I had a chance to stop going as I got older. But then something happens, just like what happened to Zhao and Carolyn. God saved me. He reached into my life, and I was born again. He gave me new life, and as I received that new life, things began to change. When I was in college, I began to hang around with Christians. I went to Bible study, but even then, I rarely went to church. I do remember going sometimes. I distinctly remember falling asleep repeatedly. This may have had something to do with being up too late the night before, or it may have had something to do with the large quantity of buckwheat pancakes that I would eat at the cafeteria before I'd go to church. I don't know. It may have been a connection. But as I was a junior in college, my friend Steve was reaching out to me. He was urging me to get involved in church. And when I finally plugged into his church, Arcata First Baptist Church, I remember what happened. A love affair began. I fell in love with God's church. And that love affair has never ended, and I trust and hope it never will. I fell in love with corporate worship. I fell in love with Sunday morning fellowship in a multi-generational setting. I fell in love with hearing the preaching of God's word. I fell in love with serving those saints as best as I could. Church moved for me from being an afterthought to becoming a top priority in my life. I even started going to bed earlier on Saturday nights and changing what I ate on Sunday morning so I could stay awake. What was happening here? I was discovering that church is the place on earth where God is uniquely present with his people and ruling over his people. Where is God present today? Where is the omnipresent God uniquely present? Where does God choose to manifest his saving presence, make himself present to bless on the earth? It's in his church. Have you discovered the joy of this? Is your affection for his church growing in this stage of your life? Are you glad when Sunday morning rolls around because it's time for church? Psalm 122 is God's word to us, and it has power to shape and to give life and to transform us. It can stir up a joyful love for the church in every one of us here. Really? Really? Can it really do that? I mean, actually, how can a psalm about Jerusalem build a love for the church? Well, that's what we're here to see this morning. So I want to take you in three steps through Psalm 122 this morning. And first, we want to survey the psalm through this lens, Jerusalem. Psalm 122 is really, it's a song, it's a poem, it's a prayer about Jerusalem, God's special city. Now, at the beginning of the psalm, it says a song of ascents. Psalm 122 is a pilgrim psalm. It's a psalm for the journey. It's part of a group of these songs of ascents that start with Psalm 120 and go through Psalm 134. These songs of ascents were probably sung by the people of God as they left their villages and their towns throughout Israel, and three times a year they made their way for festivals and worship in the center of the country, the city of Jerusalem, the city on a hill. And so as they ascended to the city on a hill, they had these songs to sing along the way. And we see this sort of progression. Psalm 120, the first of these songs of ascents, is a lament being far away from Jerusalem and being in distress about that. Psalm 121, if you were here with us last week, we saw how this is a song for the journey and how God keeps from danger along the way. Psalm 122 today, we'll see the joy of arriving in the city and this call to prayer. And then Psalm 123 is a prayer that could actually be prayed in the city. So there's sort of this progress that's being made in this journey. Have you ever had a friend discover a new restaurant and just be so excited to tell you about it? Maybe somebody at work or somebody that you're talking to, and they want to tell you about what it looks like and what the prices are and these amazing peach milkshakes that they have there and, you know, different things about it. You know the excitement that somebody has when they're telling you about this new experience that they've had? Psalm 122 is kind of like that. Psalm 122 is an excited tour of Jerusalem by somebody who is thrilled to be there and wants you to be as well. So this is how it goes. Verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. So they're not there yet, but they're saying, hey, it's time to go. Let's go. It's time to start the journey. And then verse 2, our feet have been standing within your gates. Oh, Jerusalem. Okay, so they've arrived, and this writer is thrilled. And then you kind of get this tour. So I want you to see the key parts of what's being seen in Jerusalem. It's a city that's bound firmly together. It's a compact, densely packed city, as cities often are. It's a place where the tribes go up, so it's a place of unity where the people of God come together. And there's the house of David, and this throne is there. So it's a place where the king lives, and it's a place where God's rule is being expressed over his people. In fact, it says it's a psalm of David. Now, I'm not sure if this is a psalm written by David. It seems like it might be occurring a little after David's time. Perhaps it's the of David means of the Davidic king, of the line of David. I'm not sure. But the idea is that in this city, there are a couple things happening. There's a house of David where the king lives, and so God's rule is being expressed in his people that way. But there's also the house of the Lord. What's that? That's the temple. Key centerpiece in Israel's life. What happens in the temple where the ark is there with the Ten Commandments inside of it, and it's in this holy of holy place, and it's the centerpiece of Israel's life and worship. Why? What's so special about this place? It's the place of God's presence. It's the place God has chosen to reveal himself and manifest his presence to bless his people. So here we have God's people, the tribes gathered, in God's place, Jerusalem, under God's rule, God present through the king and the temple. And so then you get this call to prayer, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now that word peace in Hebrew is the word shalom, which you may be familiar with. In fact, it's sort of a play on words, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. So pray for the peace of this city, Jerusalem. What is shalom? Well, it's more than sort of not being at war. Shalom is prosperity and wholeness and flourishing and unity. Right now, there isn't war between North Korea and the United States, and we pray that will remain that way, but what exists between these two countries right now is not shalom. Shalom is unity and fellowship. And so he's saying, let's pray for that kind of wholeness and flourishing and prosperity in Jerusalem. Now, why does Jerusalem matter so much? It's become the center of Israel's life. Why has this happened? Well, fundamentally, this place where God has chosen to reveal his presence through the house of the Lord there is not only intended to be a blessing to the people of Israel, it's intended to be a blessing through Israel to the ends of the earth. And so in Isaiah 49:6, God says, I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And so this city on a hill is intended to be a witness to the ends of the earth of the glory of God and the saving power of God. So Jerusalem is a special place. It's God's special city. Now, let's see also, though, that Jerusalem is more than a city. I just loved hearing those testimonies this morning. Wasn't that thrilling? Oh, praise God for his saving power. One of the most exciting things about becoming a Christian and being a growing disciple of Jesus is to discover this book, that it's not just a dry, dusty book, a book of empty words. But this is the amazing story of what God has communicated to us. As Xiao said, here we receive the words of God through this book. He speaks to us in this book. And at first glance, Psalm 122, I mean, let's just take it at face value. Here's something that was written 2,500 years ago, maybe. It's written about a city that existed a long time ago, and there's still a city on the other side of the world. But what does that have to do with, how could that be any more disconnected from a group of people gathered in Northern Virginia here this August 13th? What would it possibly have to do with us? But when you begin to see how the Bible is put together, we discover that these words are given by God, and they reach forward to us, and they actually even reach past us to the very end of this age and the beginning of a new age to come. Jerusalem is more than a city. It's a foretaste. It's a type. It's a symbol, a foreshadowing. And you see that as you look at its key components. The critical one here is the house of the Lord. There's this excitement. Let's go to the house of the Lord. Again, what's the house of the Lord? It's the temple, right? Now, storyline of the Bible. God creates people. They're in his presence in paradise. They sin. Separation comes about. What happens next? God is a redeemer. He says, I'm not going to leave things like this. Even though people are in rebellion against me, they're running from me, I'm going to make myself present amongst a people that I'm going to call to myself for fellowship with me. And so he calls Israel out of slavery in Egypt, and they're out there in the wilderness, camped out, and God gives them plans to establish this tent where he's going to meet with them, and this ark, this holy of holy place where God himself is present among his people. And there's this wonderful moment, you can read about it in Exodus, in Leviticus, when God comes on the scene and makes himself present amongst his people. And then that tent and that ark makes its way into the promised land and eventually to Jerusalem. And then Solomon builds this temple around this ark. And so God is present in this place through the temple. And then what happens? Jesus comes on the scene and he says some shocking things that have to do with the temple. First, John, the gospel writer, writes about Jesus in the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 14 and says very intentionally, and the word Jesus became flesh and tabernacled, tented among us. What's he mean by that? He means that what the temple has been to Israel, now Jesus is becoming to the whole world. And then Jesus says in John chapter 2, destroy this temple. What's he talking about? The stones and the building of the temple there in Jerusalem? No, he's talking about his body. And so he says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Why? Because the temple is changing, and the place where people will meet with God on the earth is now in a human form in Jesus Christ. And that's why, as we heard Seda preach a few weeks ago from John chapter 4, Jesus can say, the temple is becoming obsolete, and the time is coming when you won't worship in Jerusalem. You will worship in spirit and in truth, because God is changing the place where he's meeting with people. And so then Jesus dies, rises again, goes to heaven, sends his spirit. And what happens? You end up with the church, the body of Jesus Christ. And so God is now present on the earth in this new temple. We saw in Ephesians chapter 2, preaching through Ephesians earlier, the house of God built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Wow, that's all happening in the storyline of the Bible. God is so awesome. He has this incredible type and shadow of this temple that carries all the way through from beginning to end. And we now, as we gather here on Sundays, are part of that living temple where God dwells by his Spirit. You can do the same thing with the throne, this throne of David. Then Jesus comes on the scene. Who is he? He's the son of David, the great king that's been prophesied and waited for. Now Jesus sits at God's right hand waiting to come and take final rulership over all the earth for all time. And so we call him Lord. Why? Because it's the ultimate expression of authority. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And in Jerusalem, there the tribes were gathering. How does that spill forward this side of the cross? Where do God's people gather now? Is Psalm 122 a call to each one of us to get your calendars out, book some airline tickets, and let's make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem? Great to go visit Jerusalem. I hope I can do that someday. But God's people gather now in a different city set on the hill, witnessing to the nations in a different way. No longer is it one city in the nation of Israel, but think about it. Right now, today, this Lord's Day, there are thousands, probably millions of mini Jerusalems meeting in houses and schools and tents and cathedrals all around the world. Do you want to experience the presence of this living, saving God? Well, come to the place where the tribes gather, the church of the living God. How can people in your world experience the presence of God? People you work with, people in the tribes of Northern Virginia, well, invite them in to God's house. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to as they've visited church and didn't know the Lord, and they've said, that was, you know, variety of descriptions. It was interesting. It was strange. It was new. It was but then there's some feeling that they've had that they've never had before. What is that feeling? What are they experiencing? It's God's presence amongst his people. And then fourth type, we've got the temple. We've got thrones. We've got the tribes gathering. Jerusalem itself. Where is God's new Jerusalem? Oh, turn to Hebrews 12, turn to Revelation 21 and 22, and we discover that all of creation, God loves cities. In fact, the new creation is going to be a city, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. The church is the foretaste of a city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. So, Jerusalem, what do we do with Psalm 122? Well, Jerusalem is still obviously a critical city in Israel. It's a busy, compact, diverse city filled with Jews and Christians and atheists and Muslims, all kinds of people. We should pray for the peace of this strategic city. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And while you're at it, pray for the peace of Pyongyang in North Korea and Seoul in South Korea. And pray for the peace of Moscow and Tokyo and Charlottesville. Let us pray for God's shalom in the cities of the world. But I believe this side of the cross, I believe that Psalm 122 points us not to the modern city of Jerusalem in the state of Israel, but to the church. And so I want to talk thirdly then about the church. More than institution. More than an institution. The church is something new and wonderful on the earth. The trajectory of this psalm takes us to the church today, the church worldwide, the local church, and local churches like this one that are calling on the name of the Lord. There are people who find little to like about the church, aren't there? Churches are full of narrow-minded, bigoted people. Churches are the source of problems. Communities would be better without churches and so on. And let's be honest. The church has a lot to apologize for. Things have been done by Christians that in no way resemble the character of Christ himself. So let's be humble when it comes to the witness of the church. It hasn't always been great. It hasn't always been Christ-like. And yet, when we come to Psalm 122 and to the Bible as a whole, you know what we find? The church is God's plan A for the world. And there is no plan B. This is it. This is God's plan to bring his saving power into the world. It's through the church. Where has the omnipresent God chosen to make himself uniquely present, present to bless? You might think of, where would you expect sort of God to show up in different places in the world? Maybe in the gated communities where wealthy people live. Maybe in the halls of highly educated university places. Maybe in the corridors of power, like in Congress. But when God chooses to manifest his presence in the world, he doesn't pick the wealthy, the educated, the powerful. He picks the ordinary. He picks the church. Places like this, full of ordinary, rough around the edges, warts and all congregations. The church is so much more than an institution. It's the house of the Lord. The people are a spiritual house. The people are a living temple where the Holy Spirit dwells and God reveals his glory. Psalm 122 is a call to love the church. Do you love the church? There are wonderful implications for us. How do we love the church? It's more than a feeling. It's more than an experience. In fact, there are three real easy takeaways from this psalm for how to love the church. How do we love the church? Well, let's be inspired by it first to gather. We gather. Obviously, we've gathered here this morning, this Sunday, for corporate worship. Again, think about this statement. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. So here's a great opportunity just to let the Word of God measure us and examine us and x-ray us. The fact is, we live in a culture that's a consumer culture, an individualistic culture. We're constantly being urged that we deserve the newest and the fastest and the best. And you know what? Church isn't like that, is it? Church isn't intended to be new and improved every week. It's not a gathering of consumers. It's a gathering of worshipers, of people thirsty for God's presence and transformed to lift their hearts up in worship and reach out in service. Our vision as a church is to be a community, and a particular kind of community, a community that exalts Christ. And Sunday mornings are vital and essential to our call in Christ to be this kind of a community. Church isn't usually fireworks and revival, is it? It's usually pretty ordinary. That guy behind you, he still can't sing on key this week, can he? That lady that you saw for the 14th time this morning, you still can't remember her name, can you? Right? The sermon sometimes thrills your soul and sometimes not so much. That's kind of how it works, isn't it? Do we love the church? Do we love to go to the house of the Lord? Do we love to encourage others? Hey, let's go to the house of the Lord. Do we have friends who are encouraging us? Let's go. We need friends like this. Sunday morning, this gathering is a top priority for us as a church. You want to know what it means to be a member of Redeeming Grace Church? One of the handful of vital things is just, hey, let's be together. 10 o'clock, hearts ready to worship and give thanks to this great God. The other day I was speaking with a brother who told me he's been having a really hard time meeting with God. When he starts to read his Bible and pray, his mind just goes in a million distracting directions. It's very discouraging. But then he just looked at me, and you know what he said? He said, Mark, I love Sundays. When I come into church, everything's right. I love the experience, the songs, the Word. He said, I wish I could take that Sunday experience and just carry it with me all week long. Well, praise God for the saving power in this brother's life of the Lord's Day gathering of the people. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, we sang this morning. I ran out of that grave into church, right? That's what happens with us. So let's gather. Second, let's pray. The call here is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and I'm seeing the trajectory of that and suggesting the trajectory of that is to pray for the shalom of the church. God is calling each one of us. Prayer isn't a unique ministry given to a few. God is calling each one of us to pray continually for the good and the prosperity of all the churches of Christ. I want to urge that each one of us continually be praying for other churches. Pray for the church in Fairfax County. Pray for the church in the Metro DC area. Let's pray for places where there are no churches, where there's nobody to say, let's go to the house of the Lord, and there's no place to go gather. Let's pray that churches would be started in places like that, like Toyosu, Tokyo, where Seda and Emma are. Let's pray for persecuted churches. Let's pray for faithful churches in our area. Pray for Cornerstone Evangelical Free Church and Sojourn and McLean Presbyterian and Jerusalem Bible and so many others. I just want to encourage regular prayer for other churches, for the church of the Lord. Let's pray for the good of this church. Pray for the people that you know in our church. Come join the Saturday morning prayer team. They pray every Saturday morning in the conference room here at 7 a.m. I was so grateful yesterday morning as I came in to prepare my sermon here, and I can't tell you how many Saturday mornings this has happened. As they met together to pray, they prayed for me and for this sermon. So they're praying for you too, and signed their names and left this with me. I can't tell you how encouraging that was to me and how grateful I am for these faithful prayers, and I want to be like that too. Pray for the shalom of the church. And then seek, the last verse here, for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. How can we seek the good of this spiritual house, the house of the Lord? Well, gather, that's a good way to seek good, and pray, that's a good way to do it. Financial support helps, serving on a ministry team helps. Do you know, as we were talking about children's ministry a moment ago, it takes an army of volunteers to make a meeting like this go. Greeters and ushers and sound people and worship team members and children's ministry leaders and teachers and assistants and offering counters and deaf interpretation signers and so much more. In fact, this morning, there's so many people that we could honor and thank this morning, but I do, there's a group of people, it's a small, highly committed group of people that makes an unbelievable difference for us every single Sunday. And those are the people that are on the worship team and the sound team. This is one of those ministries. These are people, many of them have been serving for many years. It requires a lot of effort. And a lot of times, this is one of those ministries, it's like being an umpire in baseball, you know, or referee in football or in soccer field. You tend maybe to hear about it when things don't go well. Well, let's make sure they hear about it this morning with thanks for the many Sundays things have gone well. So if you're on the worship team or the sound team, would you please stand? Worship team and sound team, would you please stand? Because we want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. We thank you. I was thinking this morning about this doing good. I will seek your good. And I just want to thank you as a church. I was reflecting on the 18 years that I've been here now. And one of the unique graces in this church is the ability in community to care for people who are in need. Four people here were members of the church with serious cases of cancer, another with leukemia, people with all kinds of chronic disabling situations, some elderly folk amongst us who are no longer able to drive themselves, often maybe not even able to get out of the place they live anymore. And one of the joys of being a pastor is kind of being on the inside and seeing what goes on that maybe nobody else knows about. You, Redeeming Grace Church, you care for those in need at this church. I know I have some sense of how many meals, how many miles driven, how many phone calls, how many hospital visits. I have no idea how many private prayers, but I could guess. And church, I just want to say thank you. Well done. How do people experience the presence of the living God? I'll tell you one way. It's when the body of Jesus Christ comes around you when you're hurting. I've been there. And I know what that feels like. And many of you are there today, and I can see you looking at me right now, and you're nodding. And many of you have been on the giving end over and over and over. and I have nothing to say but thank you. Well done. Receive, I trust this morning through this moment, God's encouragement and God's pleasure in being conformed to the image of Jesus and loving your neighbor. That's true greatness, and it's a joy to be a witness to it. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for seeking the good of the body of Christ. I love the church. I love this church. I love this spiritual house where God is present and reigning over his people. And this isn't a secret we want to keep for ourselves, is it? Our mission is to then invite other people to come in and share this joy. Imagine a place where a hurricane had gone through. There's no power for days. Drinking water is polluted. And then there's a family that's wisely planned ahead, and they've stockpiled case after case after case of bottled water. The neighbors all around, they're boiling water, they're drinking out of the stream, there's no good water. And then here's this family with all this water. What would you think if they kept it to themselves? We wouldn't think much of them, would we? Now think of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Infinite joy, eternal harmony and fellowship. What do they do with this great experience that they have within their Trinitarian community? You know what they do? They say, let's create human beings and invite them into the joy of our fellowship. That's what it means to become a Christian. It's to be invited into the fellowship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit by his grace and for his glory. So this morning, if you're here and you don't know this joy, if you're here and you're spiritually thirsty, if you're here and you have questions that you've just been perplexed by and aren't able to answer, if you're here this morning and you know there's guilt in your life and you don't have power to change, I want to point you to the solution and to the Savior. His name is Jesus. Is anyone thirsty? Come to him and drink, and you will be satisfied. And now it's our joy to invite others to come in and enjoy the fellowship of this church and churches like ours through a saving relationship with Jesus. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Isn't it good to be together in the living temple where God dwells by his Spirit, a house made possible by Jesus Christ? Well, this morning, as we come to the close of the service, we want to just freshly pray for and in a sense commission Seda and Emma and their kids, Jay and Kaya and Mia and Peter. So Sakaguchis, come on up. What are one or two ways as you guys get ready to, oh, we're going to miss you guys. But I might come see you again, so watch out. Be ready, okay? All right, okay. So what are one or two ways we could be praying for you guys as you make this big transition home and then get started seeking to plant a new church in Toyosu?
One of the biggest thing is we really want to experience Jesus daily on a regular basis, afresh, be reminded of how much he has loved us, and we're beloved children of God, and just awareness of that, and out of the overflow of that, we want to communicate with other people how great and how amazing this love that we have from God through Jesus. So if you can just pray for the daily, regular gospel renewal for us, I think that'd be one of the biggest things. And secondly, we're experiencing great unity, relational unity with our partners, Ian and Chi. Some of you met Ian when he was here several weeks back, led worship for us, and we're experiencing great unity. But if you can just pray that our relationships will deepen with them, so that we, you know, out of the love what we that we have for one another, you know, Jesus in John chapter 13 said, "This is how the world will know that you're my disciples, that you have love for one another." And so through our relationship with them, we want others to come to know the love of Jesus. So if you can just pray for those couple of things, that would be great. But I want to just take a moment, if I can say one more thing. Even if he says no, I'm going to say it anyway. I just want to take a moment to thank you for praying for us. And I've said this a number of times, but I just never get tired of saying this. The level of support and commitment, love and care that we receive from this church is I just don't see that anywhere else. And so we feel so blessed, so encouraged, so supported and cared for by you. So thank you for your prayer and partnership in the gospel. So thank you so much.
Great, thanks. Elders, I don't even know who all is here this morning, but elders and wives, if any of you all are here, come on up and we're going to pray. Why don't we all stand?
Father, we thank you for the joy it is to be here with our friends, and we thank you first and foremost for the work of the gospel in their lives, the way that you have transformed them and made them followers of Jesus Christ. And Father, we do pray, as Seda asked us to, that you would build unity on their team, that you would enable the relationships that they have with Ian and his wife and the others who are banded together in this new church plant to be a bright light, to let people see that there is something different. Even as Zal talked about in his testimony, that there's something different when the Christians gather together. And may that be the story for Seda and Emma and this new church plant, that you would build great unity amongst them and that the love of Christ would shine brightly through them.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we pray for your anointing upon Seda and Emma and their family. We pray that the Holy Spirit would just abide on them and in them, and they would experience gospel renewal each day, that they would remember your love for them, even if not one person ever came to the Lord through their ministry, that your love for them never changes. It could never be more than it is this very moment. But to that end, we pray for the people of Japan, that you would bring not just one, but 1 billion to yourself, Lord. We pray that you would pour out an anointing of the Holy Spirit that would awaken sinners. Amen. Lord, they are no different from us. They are sinners in need of a Savior. And there is only one. And we pray that you would awaken them to their need and that you would bring a great move of God in that place, that a remarkable place and moment in history would take place, Lord, yes, because of your work, yes, there through men and women like the Sakaguchis for your glory and your kingdom.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for Emma, just that you would bless her as she continues to seek to learn Japanese well. We pray for the kids as they go back to school. Jay, as he starts a new school later this year, Lord, we pray that you would bless them and keep them, help them with their language skills. And we pray for friendships and fellowship for this family. And Lord, we do pray that you would make successful the work of their hands and that you would raise up many houses of the Lord in Toyosu, in Tokyo, in the cities of Japan, and that Japan could become a missionary sending center. We pray this in Jesus' name.